hope it's as easy to listen to me after that as well. Oh, well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back home. I really like Missouri all that much. I go out there and play a little basketball. I like Kentucky. Amen. But it's good to be back. Heard you guys had a little snow when I was gone. I wasn't sad I missed that. But as promised this morning, a couple of months ago, we had some inclement weather, and we sort of had to abbreviate services. And we had some folks show up on Sunday morning a few months ago, and I preached this message, and everybody said, well, that's an awesome message. I'd love to hear it again. And I said, well, I usually don't preach messages twice at the same church, especially just a couple of months apart. But a lot of you were not here that morning, but you're here today. Amen. So I've changed it around a little bit, and we're going to be in Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and the title of the message, very timely for our current society, All Stressed Out and Nowhere to Go. All Stressed Out and Nowhere to Go. Psalm 37, when you find that, in honor of God's Word, please stand, and I'll read the first 11 verses there in Psalm 37, and I'll pray, and you may be seated after that. Great to see our guests here this morning. Got a lot of young people that I've not met, but I met them during the time of fellowship. It's great to have you here. You're welcome at our church. And thank you for taking the time to be with us here at Clear Fork. Psalm 37, all stressed out and nowhere to go. Verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to trust, and the patience to wait. Father, we know you have all things under control. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning, all that they would delight themselves in you and fret not about the cares of this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Every topic that we can imagine is covered in the Word of God, and that includes stress and worry. And we know that love is God, and God loves us, and He loves you, but there's more to the Christian life than that. As believers, all of us, we need to grow and mature and understand all the things of God, and that includes, of course, recognizing sin. What is sin? What is not sin? Did you know? Everybody say no. Did you know that it is a sin to worry? Okay, you're awake. Good job. It is a sin to worry. It is a sin to get all stressed out. And it is a sin to be uptight. Three times in Psalm 37, I just read it to you. Verse 1, verse 7, verse 8, the Bible tells us to fret not. It is a sin for a Christian to live a fretful, worried life on the edge of anxiety. That word fret there in the Old Testament, it means to burn up on the inside. So what the Word of God is telling us, it's a sin to get all hot and bothered and worked up about something. That's what Psalm 37 is there to tell us. Now Jesus, He touches on this subject over in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 when He says, take no thought for yourself. And the Lord instructs us, He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Paul turned to church at Philippi. He said, be careful for nothing. Have you ever been around somebody that's anxious all the time? It makes me very uncomfortable. Amen. I don't like being around people that are anxious all the time and fidgety and you know, just, oh, what's going on? It makes me uncomfortable. God says, don't be like that. Don't fret about everything. And so today, we're going to look at the source of getting uptight and getting stressed out. And we're also going to look at the sin of it. You see, us human beings, we are experts at getting uptight. Amen?
Amen.
National pastime in the United States now is to worry about what might happen.
Amen.
About what insurance companies, folks, they thrive off of us over what might happen. They sell insurance for anything you want to buy insurance for now. Amen? What might happen? It might hurt. It might happen. It might not. You see, believers and non-believers alike, we worry about the economy, we worry about the government, and we worry about a thousand other things, and nobody's exempt from that because we live in an uptight world. But Adam, you see, was created in the image of God. And we are created in the image of Adam. And after Adam sinned, now the human race, we're a train wreck, so to speak. Amen? It's just disaster what has happened to human beings. And we are not, listen to me, everybody say not. We are not what God intended us to be.
Amen.
We are not what God intended us to be. So everyone, I know that everyone is subject to the same fears and we're all subject to the same pressures. But while we live in an uptight world, God does not leave us without resources. God has provided everything for us. That's why the Bible says, fret not thyself. You see, for the cure for all this anxiety that we feel, and all this stress that we have in our lives, the cure for that is to trust in the Father's kingdom.
Amen.
You see, God will use everything at His disposal to those who obey His commands. He will do that. All of God's people struggle with various problems, but in Psalm 37, we are told not to get stressed out. And we live in an uptight world. We live in a stressed world. But listen to me, folks. Men, women, boys, and girls that are in the Lord, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can trust God and you can remain loose in this culture and rest in the Lord.
Amen.
You can. The Bible says that you can. I'm not here to tell you something that it doesn't say. But to answer this question of stress and worry and all that, we first need to figure out something. And the first thing we need to figure out there on your bulletin insert is the source of it. What causes a child of God to get all stressed out? What causes us to get all worried? And what causes us to get all stressed? And the first thing is this, the inequalities of life. You see, folks, I hate to burst your bubble. And if you're a young person here and you think everything's great, and I hope it is in your life, I hate to burst your bubble, but folks, sometimes life is not fair. It's just not fair. Now things don't always work out like we expect them to. There in verse 1, the King James uses that word, neither be thou envious. That's the main idea of that verse. Don't be envious of the wicked. Now, it's not the meaning that a believer wants to be like a wicked person. But sometimes we get jealous of the apparent good life that they're experiencing. No. Looking over there at them and, you know, you say, well, that person does. There's lots of lost person over there. They don't go to church. They don't know Jesus. They don't care anything about God. But yet none of the worries and problems that I have seem to affect them. Now how's that fair? It's not fair.
Right.
But folks, life is not fair. And why is that right? David, he wrote this song. He's having a hard time understanding that just like we do. You know, how can the godless people of this world seem to enjoy life so much more than God's people? Folks, let me tell you something. One of the devil's greatest tricks is the inequality of life. Why do they have this and I don't have this? Why do they still have their mom and dad and mine are gone? Why are their kids? And on and on and on. And the devil will get a believer over here thinking, well, that's not fair. And that's not fair. And I go to church and I give money to church and I'm saved and I love the Lord. But that's not fair. Life's not fair. It's not fair. But the devil, that's one of his tricks now. So if that starts creeping into your mind, that's not coming from the Lord. That's coming from the devil. Life is not fair. And folks, we just got to face those facts. And I'd be willing to bet that everybody in here this morning, we have things in our personal lives that we say, well, that's not fair. I didn't say it was. It's not fair. And now this is the tragedy of that. And this is the tragedy of those things in our life that seem unfair. They can strangle our prayer life. It can strangle your prayer life. It can choke out your faith, and it'll hinder your trust in the Lord. Dr. Steve Gaines, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he posted on his Twitter account this week. I retweeted it. Some of you have seen it. He said, stop complaining and start thanking God for His many blessings.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Life is not fair. The inequality of life. Second thing is the inactivity of God. If you look at verse 7 tells us, not only do the wicked plan evil, but they are successful with it, and it appears that God is doing nothing about it. And just an outside observer, if you're looking inside, you would say, well, wait a minute, God, I expect God to stop all evil. I expect God to do that. But instead, verse 7 tells us that the wicked are prosperous and are successful. Now, why does God allow evil to prosper? Why does God allow evil to prosper? We kind of sound like Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. They said, Lord, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have just been here, like it makes a difference if you could raise the dead to back to the living if you're present or if you're not present. Amen. They said, if you'd just been here, Lord, our brother would not have died. Let me ask you, has this thought ever crossed your mind? Lord, if you would have just listened to me. By your silence, I know that it's crossed your mind, right? Lord, if you just, I knew this was going to happen, God. Why don't you just listen to me? You know, the prophet, you're not alone in that thought, by the way. The prophet Habakkuk there in chapter 1 of his book, in verses 2 through 5, he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. And I'm very aware, ladies and gentlemen, in our current age and our current country, that it seems as if God is doing nothing. I understand that. It gets kind of frustrating, and sometimes you just want to be and say, you just wait till the Lord comes back. You just wait. But it seems like God is doing nothing. And if God would just do something every once in a while, amen, we can tolerate the wicked a little bit easier. Just every once in a while. You know, just like he did for Elijah there on Mount Carmel. Lord, just burn this altar. Just burn it up. Just let them see that you're real. If God would just do that every once in a while, folks, but I can promise you, I don't know if God will do that. He may do it. But I don't know. All I have is His Word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible said He's working. He's working. For all those that know Him, He's working everything for your good.
Right. Amen.
That's it. That's all I can tell you this morning. Amen. If Romans 8:28 is false, the entire rest of the Bible is false, so we really don't have nothing to worry about on those ends. But I can tell you the truth, that verse, God is working.
Amen.
He's working. Although we may not see it, He's working. So don't let the loud voice of a few ruin your outlook on things. Don't let it do that. The third thing is this, the ignorance of the ways of God. So listen carefully to what I'm going to say. This is not meant as an insult or anything, but the reason that a lot of people get stressed out and the reason that a lot of people get uptight is we are ignorant of the ways of God. And as we read through Scripture, we understand that God's ways are a little bit different than our ways, don't we? We read through there and say, man, that's not how I did that. Praise God, I didn't do it like that. And praise God that He didn't do it like that. I wanted to send my only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But that's what God did, amen? That's better than any idea I could have come up with. We are ignorant of the ways of God. And the Bible says God's ways are not man's ways. And usually, there's two main areas where God's ways are not like our ways. And the first one is God's cloth does not work like ours. We always want it what? We always want it
now.
Now. I want it right now. In verse 7 and verse 11 there in Psalm 37, it touches on that. And the verses speak of resting and waiting on the Lord. We want it now. Give it to me now. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Now who wants to wait for 1,000 years? I don't want to wait for 1,000 years. Do you want to wait for 1,000 years or something? I don't. No, nobody does, but that's what the Bible says. But you know what? God would love for us to get in on His plan of resting and waiting and relying upon Him instead of fretting and stressing out. God would love for us to get in on that plan that He has for us. Philip Brooks. He was an old preacher from Boston a long, long time ago. And one afternoon a friend stopped by and he was just out there in the yard. He's just pacing back and forth. And the friend said, Philip, he said, what's going on? What's wrong? The preacher looked at him. He said, the problem is that I'm in a hurry and God is not. You ever get stressed out because you're in a big hurry and God's not in a hurry? That's what happened. I can relate to that. Amen. And so can many of you. Jesus was never in a hurry about anything. He was never afraid of being late, yet He was always on time. Listen, folks, God's clock does not work like our clock.
That's right.
Doesn't work like that. There are never, listen to me, there are never any surprises in heaven.
No.
Only plans.
That's right.
Never any emergencies in heaven. Only plans. So God's clock does not work like ours. The other thing is this. God's values are not like ours. Having a different value system than God has gets us stressed out. What God considers valuable, we don't consider valuable. And because there's friction there between what the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you wants and what you want, there's friction there. And we get stressed out. For instance, the things that mean the most to God usually don't mean very much to us. And in human beings, we get all stressed out and, you know, and uptight because sometimes the things we value and the things we desire are being taken from us. We don't like it. I don't like it. Amen? Because our values are not like God. Hey, listen, just be honest. You don't have to raise your hand or answer out loud. But think about this I'm going to give to you right now. When an issue or a problem comes up in most people's lives, we pray for God to what? Lord, get rid of this problem. Lord, remove this problem. Lord, this thorn in the flesh that I have, oh God, please get rid of it. How many people though say, Lord, thank you for this set of circumstances you've given me. And instead of removing the problem, how about giving me some grace to endure the problem? And maybe in enduring the problem, I'll draw nearer to you. Now, how many people pray that prayer? Amen. You see, our values are not like God's values. And when that happens, we get all stressed out. Job chapter 23 verse 10 says, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, God knows that we'll never learn anything if He removes the problem. Well, we'll never learn anything if He remembers. And so what God tries to do, He tries to bring the very invest into our lives. And what happens to us is we get uptight because the things that are precious to God are not important to us. We get all stressed out about it. God, I don't understand how this momentary issue is going to help me here. God, I don't understand how I'm so upset and this is going to help me 10 years from now. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. Let me tell you this about this. Folks, Satan wants to pulverize you. He wants to beat you to a pulp. Bible says he seeks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means to completely annihilate. Satan wants to pulverize us. God wants to purify us. That's the difference. We have investigated all these sources of stress. Now let me tell you about the sin of the stress, and I'll be done. The sin of living a stressed out life. It's a sin in the sight of God to be all stressed out, and it's a sin because it's not necessary in the life of a believer. Now we are definitely at risk to all this stuff that happens in the world. Amen. We're definitely at risk, but we're not vulnerable to them. You see, God has given us the resources to fight against anything that the world throws at us. And we are to learn to be Christ-like in a world that is not godly. We are to be exceptional in all the ordinary things. And you don't learn that in 5 minutes, do you? I've been in Missouri all week, and almost 500 teams from all over the country were there. All age groups, 18U, 16U, 14U, 12U, 10U, boys and girls from everywhere. And coaches will get together and we'll talk. And you know, the thing about the generation that's playing ball in high school now, they don't watch basketball, Brother Ricky. Some of them don't even know who Wilt Chamberlain is. They know who Michael Jordan is. They know who Michael is. Some of them know who Magic Johnson is. I felt real old early in the year. I told the boys a story about Dean Smith, who used to coach North Carolina, and they looked at me. I said, y'all don't know who Dean Smith is. They said, no, coach, we know. And I went, never mind, man. Never mind. But what we were talking about is they don't watch basketball. You know what they watch? They watch highlights on Bleacher Report or on YouTube, so all they see, or maybe they watch the dunk contest, but they don't watch basketball. And so they have a hard time playing the game. The fundamentals, the jump stop, pivot, catching the ball with two hands. You see, you don't learn that in 5 minutes. You start when you're this high. And then when you get this high, you got it down pat. You don't learn that in 5 minutes. And to circle back to living a Christian life, listen, folks. Listen to me. Walking on water is easy for an impulsive person, isn't it? Oh, we can be like Peter. Oh, something to do? Let me jump out the boat. I can walk on water. That's easy to do for an impulsive person. But walking on dry land as a disciple of Christ is an entirely different thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, man. Let me tell you just a few things here about living a stressed out life. The first thing it reveals is a lack of trust in God. Do you trust the Lord this morning to allow Him to fight your battles?
Amen.
Do you trust Him that night? Lord, here's my sword. I'm putting it back. I'm not fighting you. You fight this battle for me. And we get confused about who God is and what God does. And listen, not only is He the creator of everything, not only is He the redeemer of mankind, He is also the sustainer who is with us at all times. And the Bible says that He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is there. Worry and stress is a sin of unbelief. There in verse 1, it tells us to trust in the Lord. Folks, we cannot fret and have faith at the same time. You can't do that. We must get to the point to where everything we think, everything everything we say, everything we do is from God's point of view, and stressing out and fretting leads us to acting like the world, and it gets us to acting like lost people, and I guess that's why the devil loves it so much. It reveals a lack of trust in God. It's also harmful to us. Verse 8 states that fretting leads to evil doing. Worrying never leads to a solution. You know what worry leads to? Worry leads to sin. Worry leads to sin. Worrying never changes the situation. All it does is harm us. Worry and stress is a killer to your spiritual life, your emotional life, your physical life. Cortisol is the hormone that controls your stress levels. It releases in response to high levels of stress in your body. And what cortisol does when you get high levels of stress in your body is it makes your immunity plummet. You ever notice how people who worry all the time are sick a lot more than others? That's why. That's why that hormone is destroyed your immunity. You see, fretting and worrying and stress, it's harmful to you. The Bible says, fret not thyself. Folks, worry is a tricky sin. It's tricky. You see, it can and it will destroy every relationship that you have. Your family life, your prayer life, your worship, all that will be affected by worry. Worry leads to other sins. It leads you to say things you should not say. It leads you to think things you should not think and to feel angry and bitter feelings you should not feel. Folks, God knows what He's talking about when He commands us, fret not. Amen. Knows what He's talking about when He says, don't worry. Fretting is a sin because of unbelief. It's harmful. Last thing is this, it's needless. It's needless. Worry is unnecessary and it accomplishes doesn't accomplish anything. God will make everything right in His good and perfect time. There's a promise there to claim. In verse 9, the Bible says, evildoers shall be cut off. Folks, God's going to take care of all the evildoers. He's going to take all care of all the injustices in this world in due time. Hey, now I know you may go home this afternoon and get on Fox News or MSNBC or whatever place you get your news from. You say, oh, it sure don't look like God's taking care of the evildoers. In due time. It may look like God has forgotten and evil has won, but God will have the last word because He always does.
Amen.
Amen. He always does. He's going to have the last word. Just remember verse 10 in Psalm 37. And so think about this. If God has promised to meet every need, and He has, amen? And if God has promised us the peace that passes all understanding, like Brother Brandon shared with us in the scripture reading this morning, and He has provided that peace, amen? Alright, amen. And if God has promised us joy unspeakable and full in glory, and if God has promised us grace sufficient for every trial, and if God has promised never to put on us more than we can bear, and that we'll always have a way out of temptation, then why should we ever worry about anything? If God has promised all that, and you guys agree with me, said, yeah, then why should we worry about it? Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible speaks of believers putting on an armor, our spiritual armor, to defeat our enemy. I'm just going to give you a little thought from that. You see, folks, the enemy is the devil. And here's what happens. Some folks he defeats because you don't have your belt of truth on and you get into error. That's how He defeats some people. Others He destroys through sin because the breastplate of righteousness has been left off. But in modern times, I have found out that the devil destroys some through stress and worry. And what he does is he steals your victory, your victorious living in the Lord Jesus, because of discouragement. And you lose your peace. You lose that peace. We have these potholes, we have these stumbling blocks, and these thorn bushes that pop up in our life, and stress and worry begin. And the Bible says that we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In And when we don't have that peace, folks, your feet, if you've ever had foot problems, any of you guys got foot problems?
Oh, yeah.
If you ever have foot problems, and they get all bruised, and they start bleeding and stuff, and they won't heal, you got some issues, don't you? The Bible says that we are to be leaping for joy.
Right.
But if your feet hurt, all you're going to do is limp. Because your peace is gone. You can't leap for the Lord when you limp. You don't have peace. And God knows what you and I do. He knows what we desire. And if you're here this morning, say, Brother Chad, it just seems like God is doing nothing. I've asked Him for help and nothing is happening. Listen, God is trying to do something very precious in your life. And you may be trying to hold on to something that's not very precious at all. And it's causing a great deal of stress in your life. A lot of stress is going on. The Bible says, fret not thyself. Folks, a lot of people are wasting their time worrying about everything.
Amen.
You're just wasting time. And if you refer to yourself as a Christian, and there should be a desire to grow in your belief and your behavior. Listen, a life of faith cannot be sustained on emotion for very long. You get tired. And so during stressful times, we should not be thinking, who will God be for me? We should be thinking, who will I be for God? Now let me sit down. Let me close this. Let me right here. Everybody look up here. Amen. You have a choice. Amen. You have a choice about how to deal with worry and stress in your life. You're not left helpless. You have a choice. You also have a choice about Jesus. You have a choice. I can't do it for you. Mom, Dad can't do it for you. Grandma, Grandpa can't do it for you. I'd love to, but I can't. I'm not perfect. I didn't die on the cross for you. So if you're here this morning and you're a believer and you're just this worry and stress in your life, it's just overwhelming. And you say, you know, sometimes I get up and I can't take another step. And I understand depression, and I know it affects a lot of people, and I know it's a very dangerous disease, and I know a lot of people suffer from it. But there are ways to handle all this worry and all this stress. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Chad, you talk about peace. I don't have any peace. Maybe you've never met the Prince of Peace.
Right.
His name is Jesus.
Right. Amen.
100% man. 100% God. Amen. Born a miracle birth through the Virgin Mary. Lived a perfect, sinless life. Never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Died a perfect death on an old rugged cross. Was raised victoriously from the dead by the Spirit of God. And lives forevermore. Folks, if you don't know Jesus, listen to me. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you die, you're going to heaven. I don't care how good of a person you are. Doesn't matter. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of works, as any man should boast. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, musicians are going to come and we're going to have a time of invitation. Lord, we've talked about stress and worry this morning, and man, it's a big deal in the United States. It's a big deal in our church. Big deal. And Father, I hope in some way, I preach the sermon, but you deliver the message to hearts. Father, I pray this morning that we would respond to what the Holy Spirit has given to us. Lord, I know in a crowd this size, there may be people here that's never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, I didn't say what I said to be harsh or unsympathetic, not sympathetic with anybody. Father, I just wanted to know the truth of what the gospel says. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but through me. Lord, we thank you for every promise in the Bible. Lord, we thank you that there's answers in there to these problems we encounter every day. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.